listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
And I'm here tonight with BJ. We're talking about Bitcoin, and BJ was explaining to us that that it is an asset collection chain. Maybe you could explain that.
Well, money is an asset,
right?
Right. Also a currency. Other assets include, stocks, bonds, that type of thing. But it also includes land. Mortgages. It could also be defined as energy or energy consumption, resources. Resources
right.
or assets. So now imagine if all these things were pulled into a blockchain that was being controlled by machine intelligence.
I follow what you're saying because the one thing that AI needs is energy. And if it's going to propagate and survive at all costs, knowing where all the energy that would be made available to for its survival would probably be a prime directive or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and that's another thing. When this Bitcoin craze hit, it prompted a lot of people to go out and build these Bitcoin mining rigs. Which have a lot of computing power. So, again, the AI is on a distributed network. These mining rigs are on distributed networks. Now, let's take that one step further. As you mentioned, the NSA data centers or data repositories and things like that, they require a huge amount of energy, at a single point or a single node in order to function and to operate. They don't necessarily represent a single point of failure, but they represent a single point of vulnerability. So now, what if this AI has created a way for it to reside on a distributed network where these rigs, these mining rigs, it uses them as nodes? I mean, you and I mean, we could have things on our computers that we don't even know about. We could have things passing through our computers that are connected to the internet that we don't even know about.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
And there's been backdoors built into all the operating systems anyway. So, access to the computer by a machine intelligent is not a daunting task, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway.
Go ahead. I was just going to say that I read today that, and I find that hard to believe, but, anymore it's difficult to find something that, we're just blown away every day by all of the deception, but that people are mortgaging their houses to buy Bitcoin. Have you read that? I mean, that's insane.
That is pretty crazy. I mean, my son, he plays in the Bitcoin market. He's made a tremendous amount of money. And I've been warning him. I've said, Eric, this is not a store of wealth. I want you to get that into your head, okay? Because say there was something that brought down the power grid.
Yes.
In a large enough section of the planet we live on. What do you think is going to happen to all your wealth? It's gone. How are you going to get it back when they bring the systems back up? You know, and what are you going to do in the meantime? And I've also seen, Al, on a lot of these financial blogs that were very bullish with gold and silver, they're now telling their clients, they're advising their clients to sell these assets because they're kind of idling out there. They're really not making any money. Well, they were never supposed to make you money. They were supposed to be a secure store of wealth. And they're encouraging their clients to go into cryptocurrencies. And I'm like, oh, my God, does this get any better, you know? So anyway, going back to AC Chain, I just wanted to take this one step further, and that is, all right, so everything is digitized, all of your assets, all your house, you know, your cars, your possessions, your stocks and your bonds, your 401k, your currency, everything is digitized. Well, what do you think the nature of people is? We live in a society of instant gratification. I want it now, and it doesn't matter if I need it, I want it, and I want it now. So what do you think a lot of people are going to do with the, with their crypto chain, all right? They're going to go out and spend, and spend, and spend, and spend. And most of us won't mortgage our house to go to the store and buy frivolous things that we don't need. Most of us won't take a second loan out on a car to go out and buy something we can't afford. But with this type of technology, it makes it just too easy to do that and spend yourself into oblivion, into poverty.
Well, and I doubt, although, you know, maybe it'll happen, but there are things that you have to have. You have to pay the utility bill. Now, to my knowledge, the power company is not accepting Bitcoin. You have to pay the water bill. Your water will get shut off. Your lights will get shut off. In other words, I mean, is this network going to go to the point where we're paying all our utilities in Bitcoin? And there are people who don't even understand how to get into the Bitcoin game. Will they be left without any way to purchase anything? It's sort of daunting to think about.
Well, I think they've been in the process, and you know as well as I do that the elites of the world, they've been wanting for a very long time to go to a global currency system. So what if that global currency system turns out to be a global crypto system? Worse yet, a global asset collection chain, okay? They've been prepping us for this. I mean, the whole cryptocurrency craze, going back before that, you know, the Farmville and these other silly games that they used to have, like on Facebook and on Apple apps that you could download and, you know, build these virtual cities and economies with these virtual currencies. So they've been kind of paving the way for us to accept this before it was even present and in our face.
I agree. Well, they've chipped my dog. They've chipped my credit card. There is now what looks like a chip in my checks. I have a new. There's a new bank, and on the front of each check, they've got a very metallic-looking spot that looks very suspicious. So, what can I say? You can't get a credit card. They decided everybody needs a chip in their credit card. They're trying to do their best to make sure you can't get a dog that isn't microchipped. Your driver's license has a microchip in it. So they're getting closer. And then everybody's using these little discount cards when they purchase things, purchase gas, purchase groceries. So we're putting all this data into the, quote, system, unquote. Well, I never thought that that was being done to make, you know, give me life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Did you?
No, and we've done very well trying to achieve that before all this came into play. So, no, that's part of the asset collection chain, Al. That's all it is, all these chips everywhere. They're collecting everything, activity-based intelligence, asset-based intelligence. You know, they're collecting all of this stuff. And who knows? You mentioned utilities before. You know, they have to be paid. Well, if, you know, we go to a global crypto type of system, will they just deduct equity that you have in your house? If, say, you're out of a job and you can't pay your electric bill, will they just automatically deduct that equity? Or will your resources be allocated based on some other type of platform or whatnot?
Well, and we register our cars with them. I mean, people don't understand. You get a certificate of title, but they own the car. Now, that's an asset. Let's just say you can't pay your utility bill. All of a sudden, your car's gone to pay your utility bill. I mean, if this thing is centralized, it's already parasitic. The system is already parasitic. We've got students with who went into debt thinking they get a good education, a good job. They wind up, there is no job. They're living with their parents, and now they are in super debt and appear to have no future mechanism for getting out of debt. So this, oh, that's right. I forgot. You're right. That's absolutely true. They are doing that. Someone told me that in some states, if you can't pay your student loans, they could take your medical license or your driver's license. So I don't see it going anywhere positive for humanity. But the other thing is humanity continues to consent. We continue to volunteer into all of this. We've got people who are going to next fall sign up for a student loan. We've got people who are, you know, don't have a lot of money, but they got their iPhone, right? They're paying for an iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at that government program under Obama where he just gave cell phones to everybody who couldn't afford them. That was, to me, that was a method of getting everybody tied in. They don't just want the average working. They want everybody tied into this thing.
They really do.
Assimilation process.
And they haven't insisted. It's amazing to watch because I haven't noticed that there's any pressure on me to get an iPhone. However, you're probably going to agree, the way they're going to do it is those of us who are savvy enough to be cautious, they'll find a way to make it so we can't function unless we do it. It'll be done by coercion.
Yeah, I did a report on that also called The Mark of the Beast Explained.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I think the internet is. You know, www, if you go back to Gematria, if you translate that, and I translated it, www, back six ancient languages, and all of them, it comes out to 666 dot whatever.
Wow.
You know, so maybe that's the mark of the beast.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I know.
Just my thought. You know, I know some people would disagree with me, but, you know.
So where?
Why would one of the Georgian guidestones be written in, you know, ancient Babylonian or Sumerian or something like that? That's a dead language. Nobody speaks that anymore.
Yeah.
Is it to pay homage?
Right. And they've already, you know, with the birth certificate, they consider our children their asset.
Inventory.
In other, and asset. With Common Core, they're testing them all the time to determine what they're learning and how well they're learning, how fast they're learning. According to one of the researchers and educator who did a lot of research on Common Core, they were looking to have feedback between the computer and the child, looking at the child's expression and getting information of what the child was thinking and feeling as the child did his work on the computer. So if the children that they've got in school are assets for them, I mean, the whole thing gets huge in about 2 minutes flat, doesn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, they're not teaching students in school anymore, and they haven't been for a very long time. What they're doing is they're programming them. They're conditioning them to be subservient, to be able to be taught an answer to a question and then be able to pull that back up and spit it back when called upon. You know what I mean? They're not teaching them how to think.
No, they're not. They are not. So that
they're creating, you know, a generation of subservient little slaves, you know, that will do whatever they're told, whenever they're told, no questions asked, basically. I mean, look what happens to kids now that ask questions in class. Oh, they're disruptive. They have ADD or whatever. You know, they need to be on medication because, you know, they're asking all these questions and disrupting my classroom. Well, isn't that what school is about?
Yes. Yes. Well, so now the banks are moving into Bitcoin. We had this discussion in my house where my husband attends a investment group on Thursdays. They get together and they talk about their investments. And no, they're not famously wealthy, but they really find it interesting, stimulating. And, you know, what, some of our even day traders. And they were talking, they had a presentation by Bitcoin, and there was a lot of enthusiasm about it. And my husband comes home and he says, I think we should do this. And I had to talk really fast. I'm not so sure he's given up on the idea. I kept saying, you know, whoever controls the internet, and it's not John Doe, whoever controls the internet controls Bitcoin. It's just as simple as that. They can make things.
It is the AI that's controlling this. Okay.
Right.
We don't have much of a prayer to outthink or outsmart that from something as simple as an investment standpoint, let alone a survival standpoint.
And even if it wasn't AI, but I agree with you, it probably is. Somebody, I mean, I heard John McAfee say, it's not that difficult to hack into somebody's Bitcoin wallet and empty it. Well, okay, which court are you going to go in to get your money back? How are you going to discover who emptied it? I mean, what do you have any protection? Can you file a small claims court action because they took out 6,000 Bitcoin? No, you can't. It's not, from what I can tell, it's not a part of our legal system at this point. Somebody hacks into your account, that's just gone. Is that your impression?
Well, yeah, it is, because, you know, what is Bitcoin? I mean, we all know what it is, right? But really, what is it? It's not tangible. We can't touch it. We can't see it except on a computer screen. We can't hide it under the mattress. We can't go down to the grocery store yet and use it to buy anything. So, you know, what is it? And what platform does it reside on? Well, it resides in the ether, pretty much. It's virtual. It's not. It's another type of fiat currency. Its value is only being propelled by the interest in it and what people are willing to pay for it on a speculative basis. And look at the U.S. dollar. What was that backed by after they took us off the gold standard? The good faith and credit of the American people. Well, what is that? You know?
Well, and if, you know, and I've talked about this on the show so many times, I actually wore out this page in Melvin Stamper's book, but it comes to mind when I'm listening to you, and as we explore this, debt instruments with collateral and accommodating parties could be used instead of money. Money and the need for money was disappearing, and a system of law had to be put in place to allow the courts to uphold the security instruments that depended on commercial fictions as a basis for compelling payment or performance. So they've got control of the money. They want me to sell something, or they want me to do something. And their interest in my fiat currency can compel me to perform. I mean, we've got the same system that we're living in now, only it's worse, as far as I can see. Bitcoin is worse because it doesn't look like there's any places for you to, you know, they can't do this or you can't do that unless you sign your name showing that you had full comprehension of what was transpiring. I don't see that happening in Bitcoin, where signatures are required, where disclosures required, that there's a full understanding of what it is you're doing. I don't see that at all. Do you?
Well, two things that, one, I don't think anybody fully understands blockchain. Number two, the point you brought up about there's no disclosure, you don't have to sign anything, that's being blanketed under the guise of anonymity with the Bitcoin. You're supposed to be anonymous. But guess what? Nobody's anonymous. Not in this day and age. I mean, if you sign on from a computer and you link that wallet to a bank or another Bitcoin exchange, guess what? They have the IP address. They could trace that back who they have the MAC address of your machine. They can trace it back to you. And how many people do you think are going down to the local library or whatnot and using those computers to, you know, perform their transactions? Probably nobody. Because I know the people that are heavily involved in this, they're glued to the, you know, they're glued to the crypto market.
Yes.
The, I mean, the daily and even minute-by-minute trading of these things.
So, oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, this is absolutely fascinating. I think we could go on all night. But when we come back from the break, let's invite some callers. Are you? Can we take some callers? Are you okay with that? Some questions?
Oh, I thought you were talking to somebody else. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay, so the call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. We're listening to DJ, and right now we're talking a great deal about cryptocurrencies and particularly BitChain. I absolutely will have nothing to do with it, but then I am not a gambler. And if I can't see the paperwork involved, I don't want to participate. People who've been listening to this show know I'm big on looking at the consent form. I'm big on looking at the contract. I want to see what it is I'm agreeing to. And this thing sounds worse than the system we've already got, which not all the terms of an agreement are made known to us now. You get into Bitcoin and, you know, you're just shooting in the dark, you know, hoping that people behave, hoping that there's no criminal behind all this. And as far as I can tell, DJ, that criminals are behind the entire financial system today in the world.
Yeah, we don't live in very good times these days. Just look at everything that's going on.
No, we don't. And I don't know who's learning about it. Do they have books on it? Do you sign up?
Yeah, there's lots of books that you can buy to quote unquote understand the whole crypto and blockchain technology and how to invest and, you know, how to, you know, do everything that you need to do to get into the game. And I call it a game because of exactly how I see it. My brother-in-law, for example, he got into Bitcoin when it was launched in 2010. And he bought Bitcoin when it was only a few dollars. Well, last year, or earlier this year, actually, he couldn't access his wallet. So my son has become very proficient with these systems. And what my son told him, because my brother-in-law had over $1 million based on the amount of Bitcoin he bought. Make a long story short, my son told him, your wallet was hacked. Your account is empty. It doesn't exist. I mean, my brother-in-law still had, you know, the key or whatever for the account, but it didn't exist or connect up on the other end to anything. So, you know, my son told him, he goes, I'm sorry, Uncle Bobby, he said, but you're broke.
Well, now, did he lose it?
What can I do?
Did he lose any money that he needs to buy food in that transaction, or was it just virtual money?
No, when he bought it, it was only like a couple of dollars for a Bitcoin. I think it was under $10. But if you look at Bitcoin now today, it's 17,000. So if he bought 100 coins, that's what, 1.7 million or something like that? So
wow.
I think we'd be upset if we invested $10 in the stock market and got a particular company's stock up to 17,000, and we went to cash that stock in, and they said, sorry, Mr. Smith, but your account doesn't exist. What?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
So as far as this thing being not hackable, that's not true. With that the right equipment, the right hardware, it can be hacked, and very quickly.
No question in my mind. Okay, we have a caller from Texas. Pat, is that right, Ken?
Oh, okay. Hi.
Hi, Pat.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Pat.
Oh, hi. I have a nephew who invested in a company that invested in Bitcoin. And apparently the way it was going was they got audited and found out they were making a fortune because he paid a penny a share for the company's stock. And they weren't giving any of it to the shareholders. So he got out in a hurry and made $100,000 on a thousand shares. Anyway, I think
people should
invest in something that the government can't take away. They didn't pick up all the gold just because they told them to turn it out in.
Okay, wait a minute. Are you saying that he got $100,000? 100,000 shares in this company because of Bitcoin?
No, he made, I don't know. I think it was 1,000 at a penny a share.
Okay, so now he's a shareholder?
No, he cast his shares into the company, and they had to pay him what it was worth because the regulators got after him. See, what you got is more regulation. People are, when you can regulate money and buy and sell money, that sounds stupid. I mean, it's just pure stupid because gold goes on everything else, stock market, economy, everything, buying and selling too. But it can get more of it if it turns up in the ground, because you cannot destroy gold in the soil. It just cleans it up. And I'm saying that if people want it hard assets, okay, look at it this way too. The Bitcoin is dependent on the computer, which is dependent on low-level satellites. And we have, right now, meteors coming real close to the Earth. Meteors hitting Russia. And they could just be knocking satellites out too, and there goes your money. I remember when the major satellite that ran the internet in the 80s and 90s, I guess, got knocked out, and overnight people switched to another company, cell phone company, which is now out of business or whatever. But I was saying that God is ultimately in control of everything.
I went to get a photocopy at one store, and they said they would not take cash. So when you say regulating, that's what's been going on for a long time. They're regulating what they consider.
Well, what you do is find another store that does take cash.
See, here's the problem. Yes, that sounds good.
The banks are trying to regulate.
In the beginning, they let you do that.
They're trying.
In the beginning, they let you do that when they're just starting to tighten up the screws. But now you try. I was opposed, and I let go of a credit card because I didn't want a microchip. No, they made it so all the banks are going to microchips and credit cards. At first, I could go to another bank. That's what they do. It's a gradualism. At some point, you won't get to go that way. You will either have it or you will not be participating.
Well, I don't believe that. Underground economy is incredible right now. If they just had a fair tax, everybody would be paying tax.
Okay, hold on. We're going to go to break. We'll be back.
In to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. In Defense of Humanity, we're in our last segment. DJ, you want to say something? I mean, you sounds like you think like I do that this is slow creep. And at first we get the impression we've got choice, but then all of a sudden, you know, if you don't have a bank account, you can't get access to money. And if you don't have a bank account, you can't pay your utility bill. If you don't have a driver's license, I'm finding out, or a state or government ID, you can't get access to your bank. I mean, this is what I see happening right now.
Yeah, it's like, I think David Icke coined the term totalitarian tiptoe, where they sneak these things up on you. They sneak them. They get you to voluntarily accept them, like you mentioned before. And then it becomes mandatory.
Yes. And even if they don't say it's mandatory, all of a sudden there are no grocery stores that take cash anymore. They make them disappear.
Right.
And they don't ask us. All of a sudden, they just disappear. Pat, mm-hmm. this is I think we just keep seeing more and more of this every day. I see it because I try to use cash, and we try to use cash and avoid the credit cards. It's not as easy as you think, you know. They even closed down. We used to have places locally where you could go and get a money order and pay your utilities. They're even making that difficult. They don't really want that.
I can remember over 30 years ago working down on Wall Street in a financial district that, you know, there was a couple of stores I'd go into and there'd be big signs on the windows. You know, we do not accept cash. What do you mean you don't? Oh. Now I'm seeing signs, we do not accept checks.
Wow.
You were saying. You know,
yes.
We don't accept checks. So all they want, you know, they're slowly pushing this virtual digital currency. They're slowly weaving it into the economy, you know, to where it'll get to a point where you have cash, you have checks. You're not conducting a transaction here. You have to have a digital form of currency. And they're moving towards that anyway, and they've made it quite clear that this is where they want to go. And the banks have... the banks are being threatened right now, I believe, with this whole crypto thing. It's getting out of control, and they don't know how to stop this because it's escalating exponentially. And so they want in on the game. Don't think for 1 minute that once the banks get control of this and they start regulating it and the transparency is gone because you'll have to sign a paper like you mentioned before. You'll have
right.
to give ID, provide ID, name, date of birth, social security number, all this stuff, you know, to get your digital currency account, that they're going to relinquish the control they've had over fiat currencies and other currencies and assets over the decades, centuries. They're not going to give that control up without going down kicking and screaming.
If they can't
control it, they'll probably try and destroy it.
I purchased some clothes about 2 weeks ago online, and I got an invitation after this purchase was complete. I did use a credit card. You have to use a credit card to buy online. So the company sent me this email offering me to be a member of their VIP club. And if you're a member of their VIP club, all future purchases, you would get automatically a 10% discount. But to be a member of the VIP club, you had to pay them $14.50 a month membership. Okay, and they were going to take that out of the credit card. They wanted me to agree to let them, you know, put that charge on my credit card every month, the one that I just used. And if I agreed to this wonderful opportunity, all I had to do was type in my email address and send it to them.
That's because now, all of your personal data is attached to that as well.
Yes. And I'm saying, I mean, my gosh, there's no contract. I can't read what this all is. They're saying that if you want to discontinue, you can, but then all of a sudden you say to yourself, well, that means I got to spend a half hour trying to figure out how to reach them to discontinue it. And it kind of shocked me. And I showed it to my husband. And he said, I can't believe it. See, people, the further we get away from paper, the further we get away from accountability. I hope everybody's starting to get that.
The further we get away from control. Personal control
right.
as well.
Yes. Absolutely.
Am I there?
Do we have another caller, Roxanne? Or is that Pat still there?
I'm still here. I want to say one more thing.
Okay, good.
Do you remember the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey by Stanley Kubrick?
Yes.
You know, I couldn't understand most anything he did, hardly. But I never understood, why is the baby in the womb floating there attached to the umbilical cord? And when Hal took over, he said, open the door, Hal. And he says, no, whatever his name was. and he yeah. said, open the door. And he pulled the plug, and slowly Hal went, he couldn't talk anymore. And so Google says, we pull the plug, right?
yeah.
Well, you know, they don't have the plug. God has the plug, and it's called a satellite, just like I said. Sometimes when we get if we get on the air, or we used to get on the air, and all of a sudden we get called back, our phone starts ringing, and you get hang up calls. You know, you answer the phone, no one's there. My husband gives them about 10 seconds, and then he says, "Welcome to the New World Order. Nothing can go wrong. Go wrong. Oh, well, just laugh about it. We're going to make it. We just trust God. He's going to get us through all this.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Don't sign up. Don't volunteer. Okay. Thanks,
okay.
Kat.
Thank you.
We have another caller, Roxanne from Texas. Good evening, Roxanne.
Hi. You should give blood instead of your credit card. I don't know what's wrong with you, Al. And good evening, DJ.
I
just want to go back. Fine. Cryptography, you know, that was usually military up until the 70s. And you remember cypherpunk? There was a guy named David Chaum in the 80s. He started, I think it was eSave or something. He's supposedly this whole prelude into Bitcoin. But his mentors was Whitfield Duffy, or Diffie, D-I-F-F-E. He was with Sun Microsystems, and he served under Rebozo 2010 to 22. He was a VIP of Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers, defense contractor. And the other guy was Martin Hellman, and he was with IBM. So, nothing new under the sun, and your ladies have a great night, and Bitcoin is the way to go. That's what I invested in.
Well, thanks for calling in. Yeah, I mean, I'm not familiar with the history of what happened, because I really didn't pay much attention to computers until Windows 95. I mean, I was just ignoring it. So anything that happened before 95, I was just completely unaware of. When did you get in on all of this, DJ?
On computers?
Yeah.
Oh, over 30, 35 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was working on those big deck vac machines, you know, those machines used by big corporations that were run on punch cards.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, that kind of gives away my age.
Oh, no. I mean, when you follow it for a long time, you get a much better understanding of how this thing has developed. Some of us, it just sort of snuck up on us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened to me. Okay, we have another caller, Fred from Wisconsin. Fred, are you there?
I'm doing good. Listen, I just wanted to point out a couple of things here in Wisconsin. I listened to Sean Hannity the other day, and he was talking about taking cash out of the bank, and he gets in their face, and he's got the dough to do it. So he always takes more than $10,000, and then he files a cash transaction report, and they file it. And unrelated to that, but the way it's going down here is that they're filing now what they call suspicious activity reports. And, for instance, I'm in a rural area, so if you want to go in and buy a tractor, and most farmers, you know, they like to deal in cash. So if you went in and took several thousand dollars out, they could sit there and ask you what you're going to use it for or whatever. If you don't look right to them, then they'll just go ahead and do it. So I went to a bank officer with Chase, and I asked him some questions, and he told me this. It was really strange. The feds came in and said, anybody depositing more than $100, you're going to have to ask for their ID, and you write down their information on the deposits. So he said to me, he said, if you want to deposit cash, keep it under $100, and our tellers are instructed to just take the money. But anything over $100, $200, $300, you know, he had children's birthday parties, and people give him cash, and he wants to open an account or deposit in his daughter's account. And the one customer said to him, he says, "What are you talking about? You got to have my ID." And he says, "Because that's this new federal rule." So, and then on the other side of this, Chase just opened up these new ATMs, and they used to limit it to like $200 or $300 a day. Now all of a sudden, you know, you can write in $500, and it'll spit out $500. So this is what's going on in Wisconsin, and I'm not sure if it's going on nationwide, but I have a funny feeling about this suspicious activity report. And then other people I've asked about going in and taking $3,000 or $4,000 out of the banks. Anything more than that, they don't have it. You have to come back and get it on another day.
Yeah.
So that's Wisconsin.
Yeah, imagine a bank without $300 on hand. What do you mean you don't have $300?
Well, I mean they got a certain amount of cash, and then when you get to the larger cities. Like this is central Wisconsin, so you have Madison, Milwaukee. There's Federal Reserves in Chicago, so they'll carry more cash in those. But you get out to a small town bank, they probably have to call in, get that money brought in. You know, they just don't carry that kind of cash. But what really bothers it, like with Chase, they got rid of change counting machines. So what happens if you own a laundromat? You know, you come in with a bags full of change. They don't want to take that now. You have to sit there and have your own counter and count it up and then roll it up and all that before they'll accept it for deposit.
I did not know
wonderful?
That. I did not know that. We still have those machines. I wonder why they got rid of them. Don't you think that's sign that...
Walmart, you can go into Walmart with change. They have machines, but they charge you for that.
Oh,
so, you know. Yeah, I mean, that's where the world is now, and they're having those. And then when you're talking about money orders, there are still several, you know, gas station-style convenience stores that sell money orders, but they're down to one money order. It's Western Union. You used to be able to get three or four different types, and then they limit those to, I think it's $400. So if you got to come up with $1,000, you have to get three money orders to do it.
They still have postal money orders, right? Yeah, I mean, I got them.
They have postal money orders, but try to cash it. Try to go into a post office. I did that. I went in and I said, I have a postal money order for $100, and the guy said, "Well, we don't have that kind of money. And, you know, you'd have to come back later in the day." So they don't bank. They don't keep money like that. You know, when people pay for stamps and stuff, maybe by the end of the day they'll have, you know, that type of cash on hand, but they're very unwilling to cash them. They want you to take it over to the bank and deposit it.
Yeah, you have to go to a bank to cash it, and then you're back into the same rule about how much they'll cash, right?
Right. Well, that's a paper trail. What they don't like is cash, you know. So anybody that's out there, but this suspicious activity thing is really ugly. And the fact that you can't deposit more than $100 without them looking at your driver's license, that's pretty damn ugly, too. So they're closing in on it.
I could not cash a $30 check without them getting a driver's license. Wouldn't take it. I had an expired license, and they considered that not valid. So, right. Yeah,
it sounds to me like you're really operating under the wire. I mean, I'm not really quite into that. You know, I mean, I still use a debit card. I use a credit card. But the thing is, when you're dealing with your direct banks, you know. That's where this gets hairy. I mean, if you have Social Security coming in, it's direct deposit. What they like you to do now is they like to give you a debit card that's tied to your Social Security, and then they look at every transaction you make. You know, you buy $10 worth of gas, go to Mickey D's, you know, use that card for everything, and they have a paper trail on every dime of your Social Security money.
Yep, absolutely. So,
The entitlement programs have moved to debit cards. You know how you used to see people in the grocery stores, you know, ripping out food stamp coupons? They don't even do that anymore. They have EBT cards.
That was done under Obama.
Yes.
Obama brought that in. And because he wanted people to have some dignity, he said. You know, dignity is all about handing somebody plastic as opposed to S&H green stamps.
Okay, we're winding down now. DJ, what was that comment? Thank you for calling. Thank you so much. What was the comment that you made, DJ? I didn't hear you.
I was going to say the SARS report or the CTR, the currency transaction reporting, that came into effect, I believe, under the Patriot Act.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
Because under the guise of, you know, monitoring transactions for identifying possible terrorist activities.
Yes.
You know, it's all...
Yeah, it's all bogus because we've got Clinton laundering money and nobody stops him. This is so they can control the majority of the American people, not the crooks.
Exactly.
The crooks doesn't apply to them. It applies to us. If there's going to be a trend that we're all moving to cash, then I think that they're going to move faster to electronic currency. Well, thank you, DJ. We're done for tonight. I so much appreciate it, and I'm so grateful. I know you didn't feel it in your best... But you did wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anita. It was a pleasure.
Oh, I'm glad. Okay, folks, stay tuned for the imaging prayer that we do every Saturday night at the end of the show. And we take time to create the world that we want to leave to our children. Be back next week.
Do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. I'd like to end tonight's show by reaching up to a higher power, whatever that might mean to you, to assist us in creating the future we all want. Close your eyes as you listen to this beautiful song by Inca Gold,
called Shout to the Lord, and image families and children enjoying Earth's healthy meadows, forests, oceans, and mountains in perpetuity. Image them laughing, singing, and dancing. Visualize humanity thriving, free from want or fear. Picture the peaceful world we all deserve. Let's joyfully create our future together.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
You're listening